Welcome to Tee Talk, where athletes share their stories. Join us as we explore the profound connections between sports, community, and the human experience.
All right. So just to start it off, we are happy to have you on, Miss Brittany Hurst, Hall of Fame volleyball player at Tulane University. Tell us a little bit about your Hall of Fame experience.
Well, firstly, it was a humbling experience, and let me start off by saying thank you for having me on. I'm excited about the Tee Club and all of what is in store for the Tee Club in general, but also for me and my future. I'm excited to be a part of it. Excellent. But as it relates to just the Hall of Fame process and the actual ceremony itself, it was humbling. It was also beautiful to be back at home and to be loved on and respected for something that you've done. You don't necessarily see yourself when you're in it in that way. You're just doing what you love. But to receive that type of recognition and to be able to have my children and my husband see me in that way, and my mom, of course, who was a single parent mom who pressed to give me the opportunity to explore a sport that was not, you know, played by many folks that are brown skinned. Let me just say that black women did not have the opportunity to play volleyball. It's just a costly sport. And so, but she saw that it was something that I fell in love with, and we made it happen through sponsorships. And so nonetheless, being able to just walk that stage and share my story and be loved on, it was a great opportunity.
Well, great. So with that being said, tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up as Brittany Hurst.
Oh, well, look, I led into that with my mom. So I'm born in Baton Rouge, born and raised here, attended several schools in terms of early on. But it's funny, in kindergarten, my mother realized that I was athletic. She was a dancer. So, you know, dancers are athletes as well. So I need to make sure. The debate, it is what it is, right? But she is a dancer, and so I think she thought I was going to be a dancer as well. But we did a mild test in kindergarten, and I smoked everybody in elementary school, and they were like, okay, you have an athlete on your hands. And so from that point on, of course, I was asked to play basketball and softball, and so a variety of different sports. And honestly, you couldn't have told me that I wasn't going to be a collegiate basketball player early on. And then through middle school, played the same sports, basketball and volleyball, came into ninth grade and attended a school that was a magnet school that did not have basketball. So it only had volleyball and track. There was no softball and there was no basketball. And going into the school, I had no clue. Scotlandville Magnet at the time. And there was a coach, Coach Gaucher. I had my little growth spurt at the time, and so he noticed me, and he said, and I was like, there isn't a basketball team. He said, no, but they have a volleyball team, and I'm the volleyball coach. Why don't you come out and try out? I said, I've never played volleyball. But he immediately saw that I was athletic, had me in a corner bumping, and just getting a feel for the ball. My freshman year, made varsity just through, I would be the first person in the gym, excited about learning this sport. And the rest is history. I immediately got picked up by a club team just based on them noticing my athleticism. And I was still running track and transferred to Southern Lab my sophomore year so that I could play basketball because I missed the sport. But traveled even to Boston and competed in a national track and field because I ran track and as well. And fell in love with volleyball. Again, I was a three-sport athlete my sophomore, junior, and senior year and had scholarship offers in all three sports. But it was weird. Volleyball was my most recent sport, so I had a desire to just continue to grow, and I loved it so much. And my senior year, I was Louisiana Female Athlete of the Year because I won state in the 100, 200, high jump record holder, then all district and all state basketball and volleyball. And so but when Tulane offered me, I had always been sort of inspired by my pediatrician. I didn't really have a physical father present, unfortunately. Like, and I say physical, like at my games. I knew him, he existed, he had an addiction, unfortunately, alcoholism. And so like, it is what it is, right? That's a part of who I am. But this gentleman specifically always showed up to my volleyball games. He loved volleyball. He'd been my pediatrician since birth, and but also loved and supported me. And he was a Tulane grad from medical school, and so he would tell me about Tulane. It was an amazing school, and so when Tulane offered me, it had always been in the back of my mind. I wasn't sure what I was gonna do in terms of a major, but a medicine was sort of one of those thoughts that I thought maybe pre-med would be the track. And when Tulane offered, I knew it was close enough, but far enough away to where I was like, not in Baton Rouge, me and my family. And it was such a prestigious university, great environment. My visit was so comforting. I met Kim Sentmore, who's been a lifelong friend, and we connected really well. And the rest is history. Honestly, I was, you know, excited to be in a new city, and I had experienced New Orleans, but being a 17-year-old, 18-year-old coming to New Orleans on my visit was a completely different experience than I had. Oh my gosh! Well, of course, we went to some parties, and just of course got a great tour, but just developed some close bonds even within that that visit. And Sonia was the coach at the time, So Val Hansen and Sonia were my recruiters. Okay, Betsy Becker wound up being my coach because unfortunately, you know, there was some coaching changes, but they recruited me to Tulane, and I love them. Val and Sonia were so sweet and just comforting as it relates to just me and what my potential was, believed in me.
You were talking about, you know, playing for Betsy and the coaching changes.
So on my recruiting visit, it was an incredible experience. Coach Hansen and Coach Val laid out the red carpet. The team, everyone was just so embracing, and I got to have a different feel of New Orleans from the food, as well as I remember going to the boot and parties. It was a party on campus, a sorority party, and so just having a great opportunity to see what was available as it relates to just on-campus life, because I hadn't had an adult experience as it relates to New Orleans. But in addition to that, I met some great teammates who have become friends, especially one of my close friends, Kim Sim, a senior at the time, and Lacey Vicknair, okay. And so Jill Fayard, just some great individuals who, and then Lindsay Bennett wound up being my other teammate, who was the only other freshman to enter with me at the time. So, yeah.
Okay. How did, when you came on your visit, did they take you to classes as well?
No,
or did
of
you
course
just
they
do the
did.
Party
I got to see the campus, but you know, you being young and impressionable, and classrooms are classrooms. I mean, I'm expecting great. I'm expecting great instructors, and of course, the facilities are not what they are now. I must admit, but I was definitely right. blown away. My only experiences as it relates to campus was Southern University, which is a great institution, but this was a different institution, and as well as LSU, and I'd gone to Iowa, I'd gone to some other universities, but just being up the road and seeing how much the alumni, and just from a support perspective, the university has invested in it financially, and the B school was, I had never had a desire to, you know, I won't say go into business. My mindset was entrepreneurial-like, but I didn't really know what area of business I would consider myself going into. But then, of course, once I toured the B school and saw what was possible, that became an opportunity for me as it relates to majoring. So I made a decision to go into finance and marketing later on as a result of that. And the B school is nothing like it did
awesome.
Then. It is literally like the New York Stock Exchange.
It's totally different now, right? Yeah, that's what we did that's what we did the first podcast in the B school.
Beautiful.
So it was crazy. The technology they have in that building. I finished from Freeman as well. I did human resources. But when I was there, it wasn't like it was when you were there. When you were there, it's not like it is now. It is amazing. Yeah. So you went on your recruiting visit, you decided to come to Tulane University. What was your, do you remember your first day driving on campus? What was that like?
No, I must say this. a part of me. I have to be very transparent. I am a Black woman. So Kim and Ashley were great, but I will also say I enjoyed my experience. Everybody was kind, but I did not see a lot of myself, which was very intimidating. Okay. So that was, I won't say it discouraged me in any way, but it was very new.
So what was your high school makeup like?
So that's a great question. Prior to my 10th, 11th, and 12th grade year, I was deemed gifted. So gifted K through 9th grade, even though I was in a public school environment, I would still be maybe one of two in a classroom setting because they would pull me out and I would have gifted learning. And some of my middle school courses, 6 through 8, especially my core courses, they were strictly gifted focused. Outside of that, and again, I was only one of one, sometimes maybe two. Okay. But the general body, my was extremely diverse, 60-40. Okay. So I got to see myself quite often. Okay. Southern Lab, which is the school I attended 10th through 12th grade year. Okay. And my mom's an original dancing doll for Southern. And so I'm blue and gold from birth. Okay. And so, literally green and gold, you know, it's an all Black institution. There's a lot of pride in being, you know, one of the largest at that point in time, historically Black universities. And it was a blessing to hear, you know, and being around the culture and people. And so it was a rude awakening in a different way, to not really see that there was much diversity there. Now there's diversity in other ways, but you all understand exactly where I'm coming from as opposed to just African American population. And so, but I knew the landscape of New Orleans and the other institutions that were there and have never been afraid of meeting other people and venturing out. Hence, later on, I wind up pledging to make sure that to make sure that I had all of the experiences I wanted to have while in the city of New Orleans and even on campus to connect with other women and men that you know, look like me. So outside of that.
So what was it like? You're on campus. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of Black folk. How many teammates did you have of culture?
So at the peak, I would say I had 1, 2, 3. So it was 5 of us my senior year, which is right. Okay, so 5 my senior year. But still your experiences and part of me, I mean, I grew up, my mom was a principal. And so I love being a student athlete. I think part of me despised a little bit being, oh, she's an athlete. That's why she's at Tulane.
Right. So did you hear that? Like, did you hear that?
Course.
Or did you just
hear it? I heard it. Oh, what sport do you play?
Yeah, I heard it too. I'm just curious. I heard it too.
Okay. Anyway, but, you know, that did not sit well with me. And so, but anyway, I worked through it, of course, as we all do. And probably said, you know, I'm majoring in finance and marketing. I'm a student in the AB Freeman School of Business, but I also play volleyball. And so anyway, you exist in it, but you also have a job to do. And I was grateful for the scholarship opportunity to not have to pay a thing being a student athlete. But if only there were NIL deals.
Right. You would have been Angel Reese.
And social media being what it is now, if it was what it was.
Right.
I definitely would have used it to my advantage, that's for sure.
So let's kind of stick with that. And so you're on campus. People are coming at you different times. I know it's not often, but it happens. So who did you have to talk to when those situations came up? Was it just an administrator? Was it just your teammates? Did you have to call home? Like, who could you lean on in those times?
So Kim was my friend, and even when she wasn't, because she was, again, I didn't have the opportunity to play with her very long. So she was a senior when I was a freshman. So she remained a confidant, of course, because I even saw some of her own challenges that she faced being a student athlete. But then I would call, you know, I would call my mom, but honestly, I really internalized most of it. I must be 100% transparent. That wasn't an opportunity for me to use anybody on campus as an outlet, and I probably would not have felt safe enough in that space to do that, honestly. I mean, I am very, I've been, it's interesting, but I'm very good at masking what I go through. But I didn't realize it then, and it's funny now having, you know, children and speaking with business and some of the things that like I am now very comfortable being transparent about. I didn't have the opportunity to have this transparency at that point, but I had to do what the job was that I was there to do, which was what, play volleyball and make sure that my grades were, you know, that I did well enough academically to stay eligible. You know, that was the focus. And it was a non-negotiable. And so I like my mom could never have afforded a Tulane as an option, okay? And so it is what it is. But I also did not, you know, for just what we're talking about, knew what I looked like when I looked in the mirror and what people thought about me because I was there, because the landscape of the university was not diverse as it relates to African American men and women.
Yeah, and on the have you kept up with volleyball? What is that makeup like today?
Not as diverse as it was my senior year, that's for sure.
Right.
But, you know, I think it doesn't take away, I'm not going to take away from the coaches as it relates to that. I will say that that sport in general is difficult for people who do not have the financial ability to pay for it. I have a current 13-year-old, 6'1", seventh grader, and we probably pay, I mean, I know I've already spent $4,000 to $5,000 this year on volleyball tournaments and traveling. She's on a national team locally. And so, and we'll at least by the end of the season spend about 7-8 because of the airplane travel, the hotels, the food. If it's not just the two of us and my husband and my kids are wanting to fly as well, we make it a trip. But that's, I have four children, and so it isn't easy. It isn't easy. And if most parents are like me, I'm not gonna send my 13-year-old with another family. That's not who I am.
Right.
So I'm blessed to be in a position to be able to give those opportunities to my children. And she's not the only. I've got a soccer and track star, my 10-year-old. Well, now 11, she just turned 11. And then my son plays basketball and soccer and track. So I don't
Right.
see an end to this, but all of these sports require resources and volleyball specifically,
Exactly.
because it's not diverse. There's not a lot of opportunity. Look, I give, we give. We give to programs, we give to children who may need some additional assistance, but it's not a program where they do a lot of fundraising, even within the program that I'm a part of. I don't see that happening. And therefore, it eliminates a lot of families who cannot give their children that type of experience and exposure.
Yeah, so it's kind of more, you see it more as a grassroots problem that
Absolutely.
just hasn't gotten better over
And it's
time.
become more and more costly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. So, and then, so that is why when we look, that's kind of what we see, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Theoretically,
Well,
how
I
do
mean,
we
it's
allow, then it takes, people are like, well, Brittany, why don't you have a club? I'm like, I have four children. That's not in my wheelhouse to do that because, of course, the fundraising would be there, all of the above. But I am an advocate. I will pull somebody in a gym and work with another kid outside of my own because I
Right.
know that that is more powerful, the exposure. And if they can get someone and then teach them, hey, I went out and asked for sponsorship. My pediatrician, local businesses, it didn't matter who it was, other physicians, look, insurance agencies, principal. I was asking anybody. Look, they saw that I was a great athlete, but they also knew that there was limited income coming into the household that I was a part of. So humble yourself enough to ask and believe in yourself enough to know that there's something on the other side if you give yourself and others help you get that opportunity.
And that says a lot about your character, even at that age, to have that thought to not be afraid to ask, you know, not be afraid to ask. A lot of kids feel like they should already know the answer, or, you know, they don't want people to know their situation. So they would rather, you know, move away from it than step into it. So that's also another testament to, you know, your character, your personality, who you are. So thinking about that, when you came on campus, you had to have expectations of yourself as an athlete, of yourself as a student. How did your experience meet the expectations that you had for yourself when you came on campus?
Well, I always tell people, you have to listen. It wasn't that I wasn't humble, but I knew that I was going to outrun you in suicide drills. I was going to get in the gym early, stay as late as possible. I knew that I was waking up in the morning. I was working out with Simon, Danny, and Coach Long, who transferred over to. So I was never afraid of working out, but I was also a freshman.
Okay.
Now, hindsight, y'all got to remember, Betsy came on board, okay? So she didn't recruit me. There's a new coach who's inherited a program, and I'm a freshman. I'm like the baby, right? And there was a huge adjustment, and I say a huge adjustment only because I knew early on that, like, I knew Coach Sonia and Coach Val wanted me, right? But when you're a new coach, you're then, like, of course, thinking, I've got to recruit people to right. increase the level of performance that this program needs to sustain job, also job security, all of the things, right? But you want to be seen. I'm a freshman. And so I knew I had a lot of growing to do. And I knew I had a lot of maturity as it relates to just who I thought I was, right. maybe versus who I really was at the time. I was Louisiana Female Athlete of the Year. I'm coming in. I'm thinking I'm going to play. And I was used sparingly, but I should have redshirted. I think hindsight, that was never an option that I was afforded to have. But it would have totally benefited me because I needed that year of growth. I do feel like I used to think I was used, but I'm like, I should have registered. It was a wasted year. I didn't play. I mean, it was like whatever the number of games was at the time. I can't even remember. I think I was like at that number or one over to where you could still register. That just lets you know I wasn't a necessity when I did get in. I made some great things happen, but I was still raw in talent. And so I wish that I just would not have, you know, wasted my freshman year. But it's crazy because what happened my sophomore, junior, and senior year. But I also ran track my freshman year. So I was quite frustrated with everything that was happening with volleyball. And, you know, again, hindsight, I was a very immature freshman, but I also had expectations. And I'm grown. I'm a mama. I have kids, and so I have to look at myself then versus now. I'm in the hat that I was wearing, and maybe I thought I was more than I really was, right? And I didn't always feel comforted in what I felt versus even how my coaches perceived me, if that makes sense.
So could you see the comfort being going out to others? Like, was
of
there
course,
a contrast?
I didn't, going out to others. Yeah. I didn't feel like, I'm a freshman. I didn't feel like I was getting loved on like I needed to be. I'm like, I'm new. This is every other coach I've had is like loved on me and like believed in me. But this is a new job and she's feeling her way through and she's young too at the time. And so, and look, she and y'all, we're having a candid conversation.
Right,
like,
right,
so,
right.
I would see she and Kim have challenges. And so that's my friend. And I'm like, oh, Lord, like this, I'm gonna have 4 years. Maybe, I don't know. You know, you're thinking about all the things, like,
right.
How is this going to affect the longevity of my career? And Kim was the first all conference, first team, player for volleyball in our history. Anyway, and she was a senior. She was a great athlete, but I also saw that there were some communication challenges. And I also think culturally, sometimes how people are exposed and who they're exposed to can sort of define how people communicate with one another. And again, I come from Southern Lab. I am a I'm like folks, I am a strong Black woman. I'm comfortable in my skin. And but I also didn't have a fear of people and speaking my voice in terms of, or using my voice, I should say, in terms of how I feel. Didn't matter how young I was. So maybe that wasn't always to my advantage.
But I mean, that's your fire. That's your passion,
I
right?
know it wasn't always to my advantage.
That's your fire. That's your passion.
But it
And
was
I
my
think you make a
passion.
great point that Betsy was a very young coach. And she didn't know, she probably was developing her voice as well and trying to figure
Absolutely.
out how to navigate with this strong Black woman that's not backing down.
I felt like, there is a respect that I will always have for our coaching staff because I am a part of who I am because of those experiences that I had. But I did run track, and Coach Basil, was it Basil or Basil? I can't remember how you pronounce it. Coach Basil, I think was his name. I went out and I did the high jump, and he just loved on me, and I was missing that. Like, so much so that I almost thought about going on track scholarship. That tells you how crazy. He was like, "Come on, on track scholarship. Like, I'll put you on track scholarship for my like." So anyway, because I missed having that type of like love, if that makes sense. But I stayed the course, and my sophomore year, things got obviously a lot better. I will tell you, there were, we still struggled. Even my senior year, we struggled. I felt like, and I know that I was the captain. When you are the star, you become one of the strongest players on a team. I don't always like to just say I'm the best player on the team at the time. I feel like that's, there's ambiguity with best when you say that. But like, I was
You were the
strongest
best player on the team, Brittany. You don't need to say it.
player.
I'll say it for you. You
Every time I
were the best
hear
player on the team by
that,
that
right?
time.
But I felt like there was so much pressure. And y'all gotta remember, I was a 17-year-old freshman. Like, I look at my husband, who was a 19-year-old freshman who still redshirted. Like, there was a level of physical maturity that happened that I didn't get. Y'all understand? Like, I am literally, I can't even go to a club legally. Yeah, so I was so young and I was trying to figure myself out and trying to stand firm. And
We feel your plight.
I should have gotten a red shirt year. I needed that. I needed that for a lot of reasons. But when I look at, my overall kills, and I'm like, man, if I would have had one more year, my God, what would have happened? Like, right, one more year. Even my husband says, baby, what you did in 3 years, think if you would have really had true 4 years, And so I am totally an advocate of redshirting for any student athlete, unless you are a LeBron James coming out or Kobe Bryant, right? But my point is, as it relates to that, I had a lot of growing because I was used to an environment where I was like just loved on and like filled up a lot. I will tell you, there was a coach, Sam Oji, who was a Black coach who had come from Sam Oji-Moutia, and he played professionally in France, but he was Nigerian, and he was just somebody who loved on me. He saw my athleticism. He was always speaking life into me. Never really fussed and yelled. And y'all know how, like, everybody, and I deal with this with my daughter right now. You're gonna deal with all kinds of coaches and all kinds of people, and certain people trigger you in certain ways. Like, even from a parental perspective, I've never liked a person hollering at me. Y'all understand that, right? Like, hollering. But But I understand that, like, as coaches, like, that is just, it's a sign of passion. I've grown to get there.
Yes,
As a
ma'am.
young
Yes,
kid,
ma'am.
because I feel like hollering would be like just a trigger for me. But he would always just be a calming spirit, if that makes sense. Like somebody who would kind of just pull me to the side and like be very calm with me and like in the moments where I felt like, because I was also an emotional player. Like I wanted to please my coaches. I wanted to please my team. I wanted the greatest outcome. If there was a loss, I'd go in the locker room and cry. And hell, I'm probably some matches when I knew we were about to leave off the court before we got the last point that wasn't ours, which gave them the victory, I'd have a tear rolling down my face because I was so competitive. And so I know a lot of that was fire too, just like I said, maturity, figuring myself out, but also needing to have that love as well. And so
Right.
hindsight, Betsy, I know you love me. I do know that you love me, but triggered. I don't know. I just it was a struggle. So anyway, it's better now.
Well, that's good. So, when did you know? When did you go from, okay, I'm struggling to, you know what? I'm feel the game has slowed down for me. I am in the zone.
Honestly, it was just my desire to, like, I've always been a fighter. Y'all, I've worked since I was in the ninth grade at McDonald's on Plank Road in Baton Rouge. So if y'all are familiar with Plank Road, y'all just know. Okay. So I've never been afraid of work. And so again, volleyball, I was figuring out, right? I was figuring out a sport that was very new to me. And but I also knew myself, like I was not going to outwork anybody. So they will tell you I lifted more than anybody in the weight room and I ran faster than anybody on the court. Okay, I was bench pressing 225. I know, crazy, right? So like you weren't gonna outlift me, you weren't gonna outrun me. Like I even talked to my kids about that. Like it was something in me, there was a drive that I wanted to. No matter what drill, I was competing against myself. When I think back, because my husband and I kind of talk about these things and like he has an uncanny ability to focus and there was a laser focus that I had on this goal of like being the go-to person, like wanting my coaches to believe in me and depend on me. And it probably, who knows? I mean, maybe it's innate, or maybe I could look at the fact that I had a dad who never showed up, and sometimes I'd be like, well, maybe if I and blast it all on the paper, he'd come to a game. Never came to a game. So sometimes those things can be rooted in like family issues or just trauma. But because I've kind of talked that through over the last 10 years, I'm like, well, maybe that's what, like just the desire to be so great that no matter who was around, you couldn't help but my name. I couldn't. You couldn't help but hear my name, or it be spread because I was doing what was necessary for that to happen. And so, I think the turning point. It was never a. I wasn't giving great effort. I just wasn't where I needed to be. My freshman year, my sophomore year, I was still working as hard physically, but I was becoming more and more comfortable with my swing and my consistency. I mean, I played all the way around. I came in as a middle blocker because that's what I played in high school. You got to understand, like Southern Lab, where there was a fundamentally sound coach at Scotlandville, I left to again go to Southern Lab, where we won state for decades in track and field and our basketball team, but volleyball was a computer teacher who had never touched a volleyball a day in her life, and nobody wanted to coach a sport. Y'all understand the difference. So there was no high school volleyball exposure. There was club that gave me the exposure, but it really wasn't, high school. Though Coach Hansen did come to my high school volleyball game. But my point is that I just knew that I physically had a lot of developing to do because the true training that other players had received, I hadn't. Again, I'm just now, because I even though I mean, you would think sophomore through senior year, almost like wasted high school years because I didn't have a true coach. It was me coaching the team from what I learned at club practices. I would come to our high school team.
And your coach was happy about it. And your coach was like, thank you, Brittany. Yes, do you think drills we can try? Wonderful.
Insane. So having had all that kind of responsibility and then coming to Tulane and falling flat and feeling like I just wasn't living up to the potential that I knew I had, it was just ammunition. It really was. And so you couldn't keep me out the weight room. You couldn't keep me, you know, when we'd have our mile times, I would be, you know, if not first, second in the top two in terms of our mile times. But of course, sprints, you couldn't beat me in a sprint. Now, the mile was a little different. Right. I might come in second in the mile, but so, and of course, just doing what, just the extra time in the gym, I was wanting to do that. And I could see the change, the consistency, working on the things that I was deficient in. And just the confidence was already there. I just needed to get the skill. And once I got a feel for it, it was over with. I was jumping higher. I was getting stronger. And I was comfortable with myself.
Awesome. Do you remember your first award that you received?
My first?
At Tulane. At Tulane.
I remember getting all conference second team my junior year.
Okay.
And I was disappointed. Y'all, I have to share something with y'all. So
come on.
So I got all, so while we're on awards, let me stay here first. I'll stay here. So all conference second team. I was excited, but like, okay, I gotta get first team. Like that was like a, like it has to happen. I got a player of the week in the conference, which was exciting. But I was like, I've got to get all conference first team. There's no reason. My senior year. And anyway, I don't know if y'all, so my senior year was pretty incredible. I broke all-time kills record. Alicia Robinson came and presented me with, in terms of season in one season, presented me with the ball. I was Louisiana Volleyball Player of the Year. Had more kills average than anybody in our conference. And we did not fare well in the conference tournament. Yeah. Y'all, I had an extraordinary senior year. I mean, I was ranked in the country in percentage in terms of total kills. And do y'all know? Incredible season. Alicia Robinson presented me most kills in a season. Ball, sign, big award. My senior year, I still didn't make first team all-conference. I'll never forget Coach Sam was the person who kind of comforted me in a way that made me, he was like, this is not indicative of your life. You're going to use this as ammunition to do some great things outside of volleyball, and you'll have an amazing life. And he doesn't know how much that resonated with me. But when they announced me at the Hall of Fame banquet, he said, the argument wasn't whether Brittany deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, it was if she was one of the greatest female athletes to ever come through Tulane. That was an incredible statement within itself. Like, that's ridiculously humbling. But post-graduation, I worked in Houston for a couple of months, and then Rick Dixon asked if I would come back to the university and work. Because while a student athlete, the student athlete advisory board, I worked as an advocate for keeping our program Division I, because that's when they were strongly considering reducing our program's division. And so I would go out with him to speak with donors, and that's when I was a student athlete. And so once they were really considering having these endowments, like the Ham Richardson Endowment, which is the former tennis player, and so they were creating several endowments. And so I came back and worked in development, specifically with athletics. And I did that for not quite a full year because I wound up going to play overseas immediately after that. But that was my last Tulane experience. And
wow.
My now, which is crazy, right? Until my now 13-year-old went to camp 2 years ago. When it comes to my children and in their space and places, I make sure that they are seen and there's diversity as well because our education system in Louisiana is quite poor, as we all know. And so,
Right.
but Tulane is a unique university and it is a melting pot of a lot of different cultures. I do know that the African American population was not what I felt like it needed to be, especially given the demographic of the city of New Orleans, right? And so,
Do you want to talk about maybe some other people that, mentored you or kind of helped you navigate through the things that you were dealing with? I know you said you
I
internalized a lot,
did. So there weren't.
but you were captain. So what was it like being captain?
Well, being a captain is like the role of the oldest sibling, which I am in my household. Like it was my brother and I. And so you find yourself sometimes, even with my teammates, on and I won't say on an island, but there was a level of respect that they had for me. And so, and I didn't indulge in a bunch of alcohol and I didn't smoke, I didn't do anything. So in some of those spaces, I was like, that's not what I'm about. I'm totally focused on my body physically and being a great athlete. But I felt like I was well respected within within my team. And we had great connections. I feel like, I look back now and probably because the one freshman that came in with me had a major back issue who never played after her freshman year, I held that role and within my classification, I was always on an island, you know. Even though I had my team, it was never somebody who was maturing with me. And she and I happened to both be from Baton Rouge. But my teammates and I were very close during the time that I played and then y'all, it's so weird, but the black girls were freshmen and I was a senior, so I was like a big sister, but it's not like we had there was one girl, Iman, who okay, I gotta figure this out for recording purposes because I gotta get my story together. Hold on, y'all. It's weird. I feel like as I'm sharing this with you all, it was a huge, a huge responsibility on my shoulder, to make every game count and you were the person, right? You know, the responsibility sometimes, and I'm like, oh, I got a lot on my shoulders as a senior. And the expectation when you're the lone senior is all on you, right? And so, because it's not like a football team where you have how many football players, right? Versus one senior in a sport. But yeah, I'm grateful, as I said, for the experience. I know that who I am in the present is because of what I went through as a student athlete. I do have good memories with my sorors. I am a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. I pledged Omicron Psi Fall 01. I didn't have any teammates pledge in sorority at the time, but it was a new experience and an opportunity for me to expand my network, as I mentioned, just with people on campus, and but also not just be an athlete, right? And do work in the community of New Orleans with other individuals. And that gave me an opportunity to and a safe place to release too. Because they may not have always understood what I was dealing with as a student athlete, but that was a group of people who could see me in that and respected the work that I put in as a student athlete and could use them as a sounding board sometimes for just motivation when things weren't always as I'd like them to be. And so, and I think honestly, it's interesting, but I can't say even over time, even though I look back and I feel like I was loved on with coaches. The love would may have been different than what I experienced at Tulane. I will say that there's something intrinsically that happens as within athletes that gives us this ability to endure things that we never thought we'd endure, but get through it with humility, grace, a level of understanding of ourselves, an appreciation of who you've become versus who you were. And I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for who I am as a husband, you know, as a wife, excuse me, look at my husband, who I am as a wife, a mom, a businesswoman. And I know that I owe a lot of that to that experience, or the experiences that I've had being a student at Tulane University. So, coaches have such a huge responsibility in the lives of young people. And so if we could, you know, even take this moment, just when it comes to like coaches, you all, you gotta remember, ultimately you're molding young people into great humans who will not play professionally. There are a minuscule amount of folks that will get that opportunity. More importantly, you're training them to be, or helping aid them with great parents, because most of them come from great homes, maybe not everybody, but still, we're putting into you the responsibility to be a parent while we're not there. We're giving you hours with our kids to love on them, encourage them, feed into them. And it's like, when we talk about criticism, it's okay if it's constructive criticism, if it's given in a positive way. You're not, don't just holler to holler. Don't just talk down to kids. You're laughing at, like, I think that is an immature mentality. Or maybe some coaches feel intimidated by children because they are able to do things that they were incapable of doing. And it's nothing more important. You can get everything out of a child or an athlete if they know that you believe in them.
Exactly.
If they feel that, they'll run through a wall for you.
Right. Well, let's transition to some fun things. What was your transition from Tulane like? So I know you're very successful in life. So why don't you talk about, you know, your transition? What things were positive about being at Tulane? I know you got the opportunity to work in the athletic department for a little while. What type of people did you meet? What type of networks did you create, and how did that lead?
So the positives of my career at Tulane lied in several. Again, I have great lifelong friends that are former teammates and just people who were students in my sorority. But I will also say, you know, I won a conference championship on the track team because I went out, I had never thrown a javelin, and Coach Van Norman was the coach at the time. And I went out and anyway, placed seventh in the conference. It was between me and a basketball player who was Tina McKeever at the time. She threw a shot put, I was a javelin. Basically, she won shot put, I placed in javelin, and our points combined helped us become conference champions. So I got a ring for track. Which was pretty incredible. But also, just in terms of my journey it was a blessing to be able to come back and help the university move in a positive direction as it relates to just growth and fundraising and being connected for that short period of time as it relates to just, because during that point in time, we were trying to have alumni weekends with the sports, and that was something that happened. Again, it was for a short period of time because it didn't continue past, as far as I can recall, me being there or feeling like I was, even though I was a part of that during that period of time, initiating that. But in addition to that, you know, my life led me to play overseas. So I played in Feldkirchen, Austria. I did a season there and then tore my ACL. But I was also training in Chicago, and I was doing modeling. So I signed with an international modeling agency. And so I had billboards like all over. We're talking about in Ghana, Spain. So I was blessed to have a modeling career and a professional volleyball career, which really led to my first business, which was I opened a modeling agency because I would live in Chicago in the off season. I didn't really move back to Baton Rouge until 2000 and really eight, January of 2008, end of 2007. And so I would basically contract models out to local boutiques and help with shows and from a marketing perspective, book for commercial print opportunities. And so I had Moni Models, which was my modeling agency that I owned at the time. And I fast forward between that and playing. I came home and I had done also a stint, a short stint in a tour in France, but I came home and I'd written a letter to Christ and I was like, Lord, I'm dated. I want my business to continue to thrive, but this is what I would like in a mate. And like I always tell people, write the list, right? I give it to God. This is what I would like, but I know you know what's best for me. And I was only home 3 days and I met my husband going into a party. And so and it's funny, he shares the same story that he had written a letter as well. And it was like
That's the
it
name.
was nothing but God. Like I met my husband at a Christmas party and we exchanged numbers that night and we probably all left the party. It was like a reminisce party, people who graduated around the same time. And the crazy thing is people say, oh, Collis Temple, that's your husband. Everybody knows Collis Temple. Well, I did not know Collis. I was totally into myself in sports. I was not into the male sports unless it was guys that, unless it were, there were guys that attended my school who were athletes, but I wasn't following other, or maybe the high school boyfriend I had at the time, right? But other than that, I wasn't like engulfed in male athletics. I was surrounded by female sports. And so, even during our collegiate careers, I never saw him. I never saw this guy play basketball. He never experienced me playing volleyball. But I see him at this party and he's like 6'6", 6'7", and I'm 5'10" and a half, 5'11". So then with heels, I'm
Perfect.
like, this is a handsome tall guy. So anyway, but he walks up to me and introduces himself. And fast forward, the next morning, we both attended the same church at 8 a.m. No clue, no clue. He invited me to a Christmas party he was having at his house that evening. He was like, this is crazy. How are we at the same church? How are you? So anyway, I would travel back and forth, decided like this, he was the person, moved back home. I was in the back of my mind, I always said, I'm never moving back to Baton Rouge. Life has shown me that there's way more than Baton Rouge, but God had it fit for me to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I am blessed to be here. Family is so important. So my mom is, she actually lives with me in our guest house. But look, a year later we're engaged, 8 months after that, married, and first child. And so we own a financial firm. And so I majored in finance and marketing. We've been with Primerica. We have over 500 licensed agents across the country, and we've got other business investments. And we've got four remarkable kids who are 13, 11, 9, and 3, and life is really good, so.
That is incredible
Yes.
and still beautiful. How do you manage?
I think it's interesting. It's not even that you're competing in life, but you've led a life where you're always focused and moving and doing and forward moving, I should say. And so people are like, how do you balance all of your kids and all of their activity? I'm loving that they're finding their gifts. Like my mom enjoyed watching me find my gifts, but she could not relate. It's funny to this day, like certain terminology she'll use. I'm like, Mama, stop cheering. That's not correct. That's a volleyball game. Like you've been around volleyball long enough to know that that is not a volleyball term. But to really be an athlete and have athletes and like see them loving, and it's funny, like you would think that they all would love what we love, but they don't. They're finding their own gifts, and it's like, and I'm excited to be able to expose them to things that, soccer, like I said, my 11-year-old is an incredible soccer player. Now she's also an All-American track athlete. Like she's top eight in the country in the 1500.
Awesome.
So she is pretty incredible. But seeing them grow, and that's where I am now. Like, I love our business, our life. I'm happy, I'm blessed, but you know, legacy is everything. And being a part of legacy as it relates to even my side of the family, you know, education is something that we pride ourselves on. I told you, my mom was a part of integration as it relates to education. And so, you know, she's fought that fight and she's retired and living, but also, like I said, an original dancing doll. So there's history there. And then my father-in-law is the, you know, first to integrate LSU's basketball program, and the pride in being a part of that family as well. I'm proud to have the last name Temple. And so, but I'm also proud of hers too. That's the blessing, right? So I was proud of who I was beforehand, but to be able to embrace the last name as well, and love the family that I'm blessed to be a part of, so life is good. Life is great. There's not a complaint in the world. And so
great.
Living every day.
All right, Britt.
Yeah.
So I have two things I'm gonna try to do, which is a segment we're gonna call How the Green Wave Rolls. Okay. So I'm gonna just ask you some quick questions, and then you just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay. All right. What is something on your bucket list?
Something on my bucket list. I want to go to Ghana. I want to see where it all happened.
There you go.
Y'all understand? I want to see where it all happened.
We understand. We understand. Yeah. What was the best concert you attended?
The best concert. I would say, I have to say, yo, Beyonce is incredible. Like, get it. I let me say this, because I have to preface this with, Prince is a genius. I didn't ever get the opportunity to see Michael Jackson, unfortunately, and I did not get the opportunity to see Whitney Houston. Okay, so those are two artists that in my mind, had I had the opportunity to really just see them in their fullness, right? And Prince, I was in the suites at Essence, so you feel so far away and you watch them on the screen. But I had close seats to Beyonce twice, and this lady, when I tell you, she dances and moves and sings incredibly well the entire time. So to me right now, hands down, she's the best performer that I've seen. Yes. She is.
All right. What TV show do you remember watching in college?
Oh, TV show in college. It's funny. So I don't. Okay, college. No, I feel like I didn't have time to watch TV in college. But I will tell you, I can remember a moment, Aaliyah passed, and I was such an Aaliyah fan. And I remember when, like, that plane crash, and we were like in our dorm rooms sitting there watching the news in disbelief that this had happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so that to me, television, I think about Aaliyah, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that was, because she was such a huge part of like my music journey as it relates to just growing up. Like, she, yeah.
Too young,
yeah.
What makes you laugh the most?
Oh my God, my children. Yo, they say, just seeing them grow and develop and become different, all four of them have completely different personalities, but just seeing them.
What is your go-to guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. My guilty pleasure would be, guilty pleasure. I guess I'd have to say social media. Like, late at night, I am the person, I don't really get on it during the day, but at night I'm scrolling and I'll save crazy memes or like funny like videos. That's like a guilty pleasure, right? Like, I would have to say, yeah.
What are some things that your teachers used to say about you on your report card when you were younger?
She talks too much.
All right, if your life was a movie, what would be the title and who would play you?
Loving basketball would be my, yes, absolutely. And who would play me? I would have to have my daughters, like one of my daughters would have to play me in that movie. But it would
That's
definitely be
cool.
Loving Basketball for sure.
All right. Bike or hike?
Hike or hike? I'm gonna go with bike.
Book smarts or street smarts?
Ooh, I'm both. But I'm gonna go with street. I'll take street smarts over book smarts. Just saying.
Score or defend?
Score or defense? Oh, I'm a like defense-minded person. Yeah, first, yeah.
Work or workout?
Work or work out? Work out. Yeah, work out.
Karaoke or movie?
Karaoke or movie? I'd have to say movie. Movie. I love documentaries. I love movies.
Board games or video
Oh,
games?
board games. Come on, you don't want to see me in Monopoly? We are a Monopoly family over here. Come on. We're teaching life lessons with Monopoly. My 9-year-old son has some negotiation skills right now in the
Beach vacation or ski
Oh,
vacation?
beach. Give me the sun. I didn't know that.
Reading or writing?
Oh, writing. Writing. I love to write. I love to read, but.
Sitting in the heat or shivering in the cold?
The heat. The heat.
Planning or spontaneity?
Oh. I guess I'm gonna. Planning or spontaneity? In real.
It's starting to sound like planning right now.
No, in real life, I don't want to have to plan. I just want to be spontaneous because I always have to plan. But so in real life, I'm gonna say spontaneity.
Okay. All right. Now, would you rather go back in time and meet your ancestors or go forward in time and meet your descendants?
Ooh, Carmen.
What?
Oh, where did you come up with this? That's incredible. I would have to, oh, selfishly, I would want to see, selfishly, I would want to see what I created through my lineage. Selfishly, I'd want to see that and be able to like touch that and love on that and like feed that. But just the historian that I am, my ancestry tree is so long to be able to go and like, again, love on these people and thank them for what they have afforded me and my family. Whew, and say, guess what? It's well. It's well.
It's
What
gonna
we're
be
doing
all
is
right.
not in vain. But I'm gonna have to
Great.
go with seeing my lineage first. I'm just gonna have to go with them.
You're doing it all. You're doing it all. You can't pick
Doing it
one.
all, take it all.
Is there anything you would like to include or talk about yourself?
So let me just say this, that I have, hobbies. Like the competitor never dies, right? So I took up a new hobby, tennis, in the last
Tennis?
year, and I love
Okay.
it. So, for any other athletes that's hearing this, I'm not saying it's tennis for you, but I know it's like former football players, so it's not like you can go and play football with regularity, right? It's not like a volleyball player has a pickup volleyball opportunity. But for me, golf you don't move as much, but I am excited about because that's something else that I have on my bucket list of things to do is to learn to play golf.
Okay.
But tennis for me is like it's a life game. It's the way that I can channel the energy, the competitive spirit that I have. Like I'm on four league teams right now, y'all. 1 year ago, I had
She
never
said
picked up
four
a
league
racket, and
teams.
now I'm on four league teams. I've been recruited at 42 to play 16.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, there's so many other ways that you can channel your competitive drive, and then just the ability to just stay in shape and do something that doesn't require you to always have to go to a gym. So, tennis, y'all, they have people of all ages, 50, 60, 70, 80. Look, it doesn't matter. It's just how you, as long as you can still move and you under.
Well, you're gonna have to be my teammate so you can cover the court.
Done. Because I don't let much drop, that's for sure. I'm still. Learning pronation with the racket, but I'm gonna get to the ball. They're
Oh
gonna try
my
to
gosh.
get to the ball, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
I appreciate being on. I appreciate the comfort in sharing because I feel like I needed to share those things for sure. I needed to get it out. And I feel alone for sure.
Thank you, Brittany. You were
So.
great.
It's done. It's done. It's done.